Father, we thank you. You've heard our prayers and your spirit is present and is energizing your word in our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Now let's start our studies today by reading from the book of John chapter 5. I feel fairly certain that we'll be able to finish our studies that we've been on for some time today. I was supposed to end it last time, but we couldn't finish it. Now, I'm going to read from the book of John chapter 5 and from verse 37. Jesus said, the Father, he was talking about the credibility of his ministry. And he said, the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. And he told the people, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe in him whom he sent. That's proof that you do not have his word abiding in you. If you had that word, then you would believe in the person that he has sent. Then in verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. He said, it is these that bear witness of me, that is the scriptures, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. That is, please notice something there. He was explaining to them that contrary to what a lot of us think, all right, that you read the Bible and you just get life out of it. You know, just quote a scripture and that is it. There's power in it. Jesus said it's a bit beyond that. That what the scriptures do is to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand my point? That what they do is to testify. And then what you are supposed to do, having searched the scriptures, is to come to the Lord Jesus. And then in him you will find life. Are you getting my point? Now, there's something I've been saying again and again about the power of Christianity. I said this is the beauty of Christianity. We don't learn methods. Are you getting what I'm saying? Our aim is to contact God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we contact him, he puts a spirit inside us. Are you getting my point? Which is the spirit of life. Now, there's something I'm trying to bring out here. I'm trying to conclude what we have been discussing about how to find ourselves obeying God. We have discussed, and I'm not going to review that. I want to try and conclude everything today. So let me not take any time. All right? Except it's absolutely necessary. Well, the last few weeks, what we have been trying to see is that, okay, when I have discovered that which is the will of God, do you understand? When I have discovered that which is right to do, and I discovered that I do not have the power to do it, you get what I'm saying? Then what do I do? You see, I said Christianity is the spirit of God entering into you and making you do God's will. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is not by trying. Spiritual things are interesting. If you learn the truth about the realm of the spirit, you will know that spiritual things control the physical. And if the spiritual is in its proper place, the physical automatically responds. So what we are doing is to put the spiritual in the proper place. We are not trying to learn the methods of obeying God. We are trying to get the spirit of God in us to obey God for us. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That is, the Bible says that it is God that's at work within you, both to will and to do. That is, God does not just make you do alone or ask you to do, but his spirit works in you to make you willing. Do you understand my point? First, and then the Spirit will make you do that which he has made you willing to do. Now, what I'm telling you is what is the central core of Christianity. It is not giving people codes and commandments and having them obey them, but putting the Spirit behind those codes and commandments into the hearts of the people, so that even though you were to take away the codes and commandments, they will still do that which is right. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's what I want us to understand. Now, so what are we supposed to do? You know, last time I explained something, I just want to continue from there. That's why I stopped. I said that, listen, life can sometimes put a lot of pressure on you. Obedience to God can appear very difficult. And that's not because you are a wicked person. In fact, why it's appearing difficult is because you're a good person. You say, what do I mean? If you were not a good person, you wouldn't try. Do you understand my point? It is because you are trying that you are discovering the difficulty in it. Are you following what I'm saying? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he got to a point,
He knew the will of God, yet it was difficult for him to do. I've preached this message several times. Like I said before, when I said about 3 weeks ago, I said, I just need to say it until people get it. The power of Christianity is in the place of prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, don't forget what I've been saying. The prayer is not how to learn to speak big English. It's how to express yourself in sincerity before God. I brought up this scripture to bring out an issue. That it is not just about reading the scriptures and knowing what is right, but having the Spirit of God work inside you so that you automatically want to do that which is right. All right, so that's the point I'm trying to make. Now, please don't forget what I've said. That number one, this thing about Christianity, it's not by our strength, it's not by our struggles. It's God that is working in us. And that's what I want us to understand. I'm trying to emphasize that. Listen, if God gives you a knowledge of his will, he's not saying that you should try and use your energy, okay, to obey. And that is what made a lot of people make as mistakes. They start giving people on, you know, we start worrying ourselves on what to do and what to not do. Because we have learned a new truth. And I said before that's why I don't like the expression. You know, I keep on rejecting that terminology all the time. Motivational speaker. Because a motivational speaker tries to get you to get up to do something. There's a difference between that and a preacher. You know what a preacher does? He introduces you to God. You know? And then when you have gone to meet God, it is just between you and God the Father. Then he pours his spirit into you and you become a new man. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Now, so what? How do we get to that point? That's what we're trying to get to. You know, last time I explained, and I was trying to continue from there now. Last time I said that sometimes you have a lot of conflicts, and I was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ a while ago, that you find out that he knew the cross was the will of God. Don't forget to, please, he was fully aware of the reason why he was born. Are you getting my point? Go and read around John chapter 12. Long before the cross arrived, he was already saying it. Will I say, deliver me from this hour? He said, for this cause I reached this hour. This was why I arrived at this hour. Yet now, with all the perfect spirit inside him, because he dwells in a tabernacle of flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he dwells in a tabernacle of flesh, when he saw things that were going to injure the flesh, he was, in quote, afraid. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is the key that we must learn. I brought this one up to bring out an issue there. That this John chapter 5 that we just read now. That he said, we get from the scriptures the testimony of Jesus Christ. We get from the scriptures what God wants us to do. We get from all the different methods we have discussed on how do I know the will of God. We come to a realization. Now, most of God's will we will walk in, listen, we will walk in them unconsciously. But there are times to come to an intellectual knowledge like Jesus had of what the will of God is. Are you getting my point? And then there are times the thing is really difficult to do. That's what I'm trying to explain. And listen, I said this before. Abraham considered his body. Let us read that one. It's important we get the points. So I will not start flowing the things I want to say. Quickly go to the book of Romans chapter 4. Let's just read that. I'll read the New American Standard in verse 19. Well, I like to usually read in context. So let me just backstep one verse and go to verse 18. It says, in hope against hope, he believed, that is Abraham, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. Are you getting me? Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, what I want to bring out is the fact that the Bible says he contemplated his body. If you have a King James, it might tell you he did not contemplate the body. Yes. I need to clarify that. If you're reading the King James, but you know, sometimes that's why you read different versions of the Bible. The accurate thing, if you read every other version apart from the King James, the accurate thing is that Abraham contemplated his body. Are you getting my point? That is, he looked at the situation. He looked at the problem. He didn't just tell himself, don't worry, there's no problem. He opened his eyes and saw what the issues were. Christianity is not about denying that which is apparent. Are you getting what I'm saying? When the cross was coming up, Jesus was pained in the body. He saw what was going to happen and the flesh expressed his weakness. Even though the spirit was willing, the flesh was what? Weak. You are following what I'm saying? Now, we don't have to struggle. Oh, this is what I'm trying to bring out. We don't have to struggle by our strength against the weak flesh. When Jesus saw the flesh was weak, what did he do? He went straight into the garden to go and pray. There was no method. He just went straight to the garden to go and pray. And that's what I'm trying to bring out for us again. For us to understand this thing about walking in the will of God. You know, I said something last week. That's what I was trying to explain. That Christians are basically, now listen to this, I mean it matter of factly. As a believer, Christians, or as believers, Christians are good people. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said they are what? They are good people. What do I mean? God created them good. He put the spirit of God inside them. The seed of God dwells in everyone that have believed in the Lord Jesus. It may not be manifested fully. It's often manifested to varying degrees. But the fact is that God created them good. We said from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He said God made all men upright, but they sought out many devices. That is, even though God made men good, made the Christian good, he put the right spirit inside him, it is possible for them, all right, to seek out many devices. Just like the multitude of Satan's trade filled the center of him with wickedness, with violence. In the same manner, Christians can, because of the multitude, listen, of their encounters, fill their hearts with disobedience. I'm explaining why people disobey God. It's because of things that they have encountered in life. And the summary of it is what the Bible calls the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. Now, let me define the word mammon to us again. I was talking about this last week. I want to finish with it today. If you go and read that Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was talking about you cannot serve God and mammon. When we talk about mammon, most of us think that mammon is, you know, when you see a very big car in a very tall Jeep pass, or see a very fine house and expensive gadgets and all of that, a man has a lot of money. We think that is mammon. Let me explain it to you. That is not mammon. See, I don't want to spend a lot of time reading the scripture. Let me just tell you. If you go into that end of Matthew chapter 6, there's a principle you will see there. Now, he said that you cannot serve two masters. It's either you hate one and love the other, or you hate that other one and love this one. All right? He said, in the same manner, you cannot serve God and what? Mammon. He said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said what? Therefore, I say unto you, therefore, because you cannot serve God and mammon, therefore, I say, do not think about what you will eat, what you will drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. That is, mammon is not the big things of life, it's the basic things of life. Are you getting my point? The desire to have security is what mammon is. It's not the desire to have plenty. There's a world of difference between covetousness and mammon. A covetous man wants his own and that of another. So he said, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. The man who is serving mammon, he doesn't care about your own. He just wants to be sure he has his own. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He just wants security. The fellow is not trying to get everything. He wants what? Security. Therefore, let me give you, I'm a preacher, and preaching is the easiest one to give as an example, but I believe it's a commission of God in my life not to use too much preaching as example. You know why? Most people think ministry is all about preaching. There are different ways by which people can serve God. And they are all the service of God. Daniel was a prophet, right? But you know, he hardly prophesied. He prophesied a few times. All the prophecies he prophesied is the one you read in that book. And that guy died as an old man. At least we are certain that guy will have been, by the time he was praying for deliverance of Israel, he was over 80, we are sure. He came to Babylon as a young boy. Now I'm trying to bring out something. He was a prophet. But all the prophecies he prophesied is what is written in that book of Daniel. What am I trying to explain? Was he serving God? Yes. He was serving God all the time. But he wasn't prophesying all the time. How was he serving God? He was serving the king. He was a cabinet minister. Are you getting my point? He was showing the excellence of God as a cabinet minister. He was working for a man who didn't understand who the true God was. Are you following me? And one day he had to interpret a dream to show Nebuchadnezzar that God was in charge. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Yet the man was serving God all the time. Please, bear that one in mind. So, the service of God is not just the one you do in church. Or we say, okay, Pastor Parker is serving God because he's preaching. The man who is a boss in an office, if he understands mission, ministry in life, alright? He will know that being a boss is service to God. So, when you are doing boss work, you follow what I'm saying? Then you do it as one serving the Lord. Then you are serving God. It is not that I have served man enough for today. It's 5 o'clock. Let me now go to church and go and serve God. That is wrong. Please, I'm digressing. I just want to get the point across to all of us, all right? So let me get back to what I wanted to say. Don't forget where I was. Where was I? I was talking about mammon. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? So if a man or a young woman has, of which is natural, everybody should have a desire for self-preservation, because listen to me, it's inside the human genome. I mean, even every animal, they have the instinct to preserve themselves and to preserve their race. It's an instinct. Are you following what I'm saying? So, nothing wrong with that. What is the mark of Christianity is where we place our faith in the supplies that will keep us safe. Are you following what I'm saying? Where do we keep our faith? That is what is Christianity. I've been meditating a lot about the issue of, you know, there's global financial crisis and all stuff like that. About the issue of money and stuff like that. And I have realized that, this is the summary of it, in this world, everything you eat is a gift of God. It's not because you worked hard. Do you follow my point? It's a gift of God. It's not because you worked hard. It is because God said you will have food. That's why you have it. Jesus said it, and he had the full understanding of spiritual things. He said, the birds of the air is God that's feeding them. Are you following my point? If you have a shirt on your shoulders right now, it's because God gave it to you. Oh God. It is not because you have money or you don't. In fact, what am I saying? If you have money in your pocket, it's because God put it there. I'm trying to bring out something. That if you have food on your table, it's not because you worked hard or you are smarter than anybody else. So let's assume that somebody wants to make a decision. Let's go and pastor a church. The reason why he will not want to come, go to a small town. Now, I'm saying this because let's not sound too spiritual. Are you getting my point? If all your friends are driving cars, and all of you are 21 years and you don't have a car, it's okay. But when all of you are crossing certain ages, you start getting a bit uneasy. Don't pretend. It's a fact. Did I hear an amen? All right. Because we have to say the fact boldly, then we'll be able to tackle it. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, so, I mean, I've heard this discussed with pastors before. I've told you the kind of counsel I have gotten. People have told me, this is your radio program. Let me tell you a nice way of paying for it. Sell 5 minutes at the beginning as advert because it's now prime time and all of that. I said, no. If God cannot send us enough money to pay for it, then let us shut it down. We will not use any trick. People have advised me and they meant well. That's what I want to understand. The people mean well. When they say, Pastor Banky, human beings are not very faithful. You will teach them all the word on Saturday. They will go and pay tithe in their church on Sunday. Cuckoo, make them come back on Sunday. I'm not joking. This is serious talk. People will sit down and explain. As I was driving down, something came to my mind that every preacher should read Paul properly. Paul said, I have coveted nobody's goods. I don't know whether you get my point. All that counsel is teaching me how to covet people's goods. One of the things that the Lord has taught me, you can walk up to me and say, Pastor, God just blessed us. That business we did last week, we just made 10 million naira. And I will rejoice with you, and my heart will not even say, so where is our portion? No, I'm not joking. Except you are my personal friend. You know what I mean? My personal friend. That's not because I'm a preacher. It is more because you are my personal friend. A friend of mine told me one thing once. See, business that is coming. I said, when it comes, I said, this is the kind of car I like. You go and buy it. Don't tell me the money has come. Just buy the car just to show me that the money has gone. Now, I'm not, it's because it's a personal friend. It's because it's a personal friend. All right? Beyond that, no. God is my witness. Paul said, I have coveted nobody's goods. Now, I'm bringing out something. Before we just point, I say, don't mind them. They are coveting. If you have never been in the situation where your life depends on the generosity of people, then don't talk. Yeah, listen. Later on, we'll talk about money matters. I told you, there's a book I'm writing titled, Who Will Pay For This? The reason why a lot of preachers preach corrupt message is because they are hungry. There are two groups. There are those who are wicked people. They are covetous. There are those that are just plain hungry. School is on break. The man has three children. They will soon open school in 3 weeks. School fees put together plus buy book and everything is 80,000 naira. He has to eat. Oh, I forgot to mention. This school has a way of opening when rent is due. Listen to me, Let us be real. If this is the only job you do is preach, listen, Next time you want to preach, I don't look around. Say, this guy looks like he has money. God said. It's not God that says, hunger said. And look, we need to get this thing clear. Because a lot of people, all right? If you have never been under such circumstances, you won't understand. I don't know whether I get my point. You won't. You will not understand. You just think that the guy is a wicked soul. Now, listen to me. I'm not justifying what is bad, though. When Satan came, it's called temptation. It's called what? It's called what? When Satan came to tempt Jesus, what did he use? Mammon, hunger. The guy was hungry. The time you are easiest to tempt is when you are hungry. Whether you are finished praying or not is besides the point. Once you are hungry, you know there are different kinds of hunger. There is a hunger in which I have not yet cooked, but there is food. There's a kind of hunger that deals with me personally every afternoon because I have a habit. I hardly eat outside my house. It's just a habit. I developed it long ago. Once I'm hungry, it's when I get home. Except maybe they are doing party in my office. Otherwise, usually the only thing I eat if I'm hungry outside is take a soft drink, a biscuit, stuff like that. But proper food, most of the time I eat at home. So this happens to me almost every afternoon. I get very hungry in the office. But that's not the kind of hunger I'm saying. Because that kind of hunger, it just needs me to go home. Or break a rule and send somebody buy me food. I'm talking about the kind of hunger in which if you go home, it's troublesome. In fact, it becomes more manifest. Get it clear. That is what is called temptation, and it's a serious matter. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what mammon is. When pressure is put upon people to consider the basic things of life. So when you tell that man, go and pastor a church somewhere. It is a natural human thing. I want to go to where? Abakiliki, to go and do what? Do they have money there? One of my friends told me he used to pastor a church somewhere. Then they transferred him to one of these churches that have branches. Then they transferred him to another branch. He said, Banky, listen, when I finish preaching, people still come to me after and say, Pastor, please, do you have small money to give them for transport? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But I hope you're getting what I'm going to say. I'm talking about the pressures that people might face in life. They do happen. Are you getting my point? I mean, your friends, all of them are just making progress. This is as if they now make you stand out because you're the only one left behind. Listen, the human flesh responds. If your flesh does not respond, it's one of two things. Either you are crazy, or you have seen the revelation of God. There's no middle of the way. Do you understand my point? There's some people who are mentally out of order. So, is he walking on the road naked? Why do you think? You know what I'm saying? They don't know they are naked. Their brain is out of order. A normal person won't walk like that. What I'm trying to say is this. There are people who behave abnormally. Say, those kind of things, I don't care about them. Yes. Either because you have faith, do you get my point? Or because you decrease. Yes, it's true. What I'm trying to preach is to normal people. If you already have the faith, good. Then we'll admonish you concerning your faith. And peradventure you don't have it yet. Then that's my assignment for this evening. To bring the faith to your heart. Because listen to me, I'll give you my personal testimony. I had that faith long ago. How did I get the faith? It's simple. After I left school, when I met Bishop Oyedepo's ministry teaching, the word entered me so much that all I could see was future. The present was never manifested in my presence. Because I was soaked with God's word. I had met the Lord Jesus Christ who had given me life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, I will say boldly, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Then God gave me understanding, because there's what the Bible calls epignosis, which is full and true knowledge. Not just something you read from the scriptures, but something you are fully persuaded about. Do you get what I'm saying? That is what you will use, all right, to overcome all the things that the flesh is showing you as, in quote, reasons to fear. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Listen, talking about the will of God, why men don't obey God's will is what I'm trying to explain and how we will tackle it. All these things, I said mammon. Mammon is not that I want plenty. Mammon is that, I told you, a friend of mine told me the other day, that one, he saw things happening around. He looked at him, he had left school, he didn't have a job yet. He saw those who left school long before him, who didn't have jobs. He saw the life of what the lives of people were turning out to be because of economic wahala. He said, Pastor Banky, I started crying. He said, suddenly I became afraid. Do you get my point? Those are the times that Satan will come and start tempting people. Turn your stones to bread. I preached a message about it some time ago. Then things that you should have used to be a blessing to people, suddenly you monetize it. My friend told me how he was very hungry. He went to go and preach, thinking that this when I finish preaching today, the person said, oh, we're so blessed, escorted him to the Okada that he stopped and thanked him very well for coming and went away. I think the last 10 naira he had that he would call his own used to pay the Okada man to return him back to where he came from. The natural inclination is that, shall you invite me next time? We'll go see. You know that kind of thing? We'll go see. He said that one, as he was praying, the Lord told him that, well, you will go back and preach again. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The reason why people disobey God, that's what I'm explaining. It is because of the multitude of encounters. Ken Hagin told a story. In fact, this will just illustrate what I'm saying perfectly. About a young preacher who one day, you know what they call a trailer? We don't have it much around in Nigeria. But go to construction site, you see a porter cabin, they put it on it. Just one small mobile house. All right. Construction people use it a lot. You know, you have a new construction site, it becomes an office. You just clear ground, drag in like three or four, put it there. That becomes a mobile office. All right. Abroad, people use it a lot for camping. You want to go, you know, just want to trip, you and your wife and one or two kids. Just put yourself in your mobile house and be dragging it. All those things you see at the back of Tukumbokas, that small hub. It's for pulling your mobile house. It's okay to have it parked somewhere in your compound. When you need it, you drive it. And then go and live in it and come back. It is a terrible thing. Are you following my point? When you use that one as a house you live in permanently. I was watching on CNN the other day, talking about the economic decadence that was in the world. A man, about 60, and his wife, they used to live in a big house. Cut a long story short, this mortgage loan thing ran them into trouble. They lost the house. They had to move into a trailer. And the man, as he was talking on CNN, he started crying. Can I get into the story of a young preacher whose father was a preacher? And then one day he went to visit his father, and the father was living in a trailer. That's what I'm trying to explain. Are you getting my point? That is, the man had labored for God. The other day I was talking to Laz, two nights ago, my wife and I were talking. I said, there are people, there's something I was talking about. I said, there are people who I know, they have labored for God. But there is a likelihood, it's very common, you know, Christians are good people, but the world has corrupted their mentality a lot. You know what they like? They like preachers that are in vogue, who are happening. And as a matter of fact, those who have labored and have kind of retired, people tend to forget them. I was describing some people to my wife. I said, look, this man, I know him. He has labored. I said that God has brought it to my attention. May I never forget that this man has labored. Are you getting my point? This man that Kenegi was talking about had labored. He had retired. He didn't have enough money to live in a decent house. He was living in a trailer. Parks, you know, he had it such in their parks other than a public place on a small, undeveloped private lot somewhere. So the young boy looked at it. He was a preacher and he swore, this will never happen to me. Now, that's what I'm talking about, mammon. It will appear like what he has said is a reasonable thing. The man said, this will never happen to me. I mean, it makes sense. Why should you, do you want to serve God for 50 years? And then when you retire, you don't even have a decent toilet to call your own. So the young boy said, Nalayo. He knew the will of God. He was supposed to be a preacher. He became a dealing man. And everything, he did everything to turn, like Ken Hagin would say, to turn a dollar. Anything that will turn to money. If he come and say that, look, Bibles are selling, he'll go and buy Bible and start selling. If he say preach and take a cut from the proceeds, he will get involved. And all he was thinking about was the fact that his father served God for 50 years and retired into a trailer. He said, that must not happen to me. That's what mammon is. That's why I tell you that it's not a matter of covetousness. I want to have something big. No, it's just I want to be secure. And it's the greatest, listen, it's the greatest competitor for your heart with the will of God. That's one thing that takes people away from the center of God's will. That man knew what he was supposed to do as a preacher. But was he doing it? No. Because if you tell him, focus on this, what he's thinking about, oh God, please, let me give you another assignment. You must walk with God in life until you succeed, so that people can use your life as an encouragement. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, you know, God has helped me, charted a course for my life, and I'm working on that course. I won't deviate to the left or to the right. Now listen, if I say this, it will surprise some people. But if you know me, no, it shouldn't surprise you. I would rather die doing what I am doing, now, listen, than for somebody to give me as an example. And that's what Pastor Mark was saying those days too. But he too, one day he woke up to reality. And he started doing this like this. God may never happen. I will grab God's trouser like this. If you don't bless me, you ain't going. No, really. Because it's crucial. People after you are watching you, you don't know. You are preaching a message, you are teaching them a pattern of righteousness. Please, they won't know when you backslid from following God. All they will say is that's how they were saying those days. The man preached, he was on radio shouting. When it's all reality. Oh boy, the guy changed gear. You're following what I'm saying? That man, I'm not going to bring out something. It's not because the guy was basically evil, the way you and I look at evil. It's because he saw what life turned out for his father. And he said, no, it must not be like that for me. And that's what Jesus calls mammon. That's what he was warning disciples against. He said, take no thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, I tell you that it's not as if it is wrong to want it. It is just that your heavenly father knows that you need those things. Therefore, he said, this is how you get it as a believer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus was saying, take my word for it. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Let me not lose track of what I'm trying to explain. Now, so what is a believer supposed to do? I said, you search the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life. The implication is obvious. You are doing what is wrong. Just reading the Bible is not what is just eternal life. It's using those testimonies as a platform for prayer, personal prayer before God. That is when you tap life from the Lord Jesus. What am I trying to explain?